everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Katamita. I'm Yusuf.
And I'm Zuby.
And today we're going to be talking about some interesting stuff like mediumship, spirituality, the afterlife, stuff like that. We don't really have a set format, but we just wanted to chat about it and our interactions with those concepts these days.
Yeah, so recently I had borrowed a bunch of books from the library, and one of them was a book called Option B. And I was just borrowing a bunch of different books that might be about loss or grief or whatever. And this book, I just thought it was very odd that I borrowed it, I don't know, a week or so ago, and started reading it, and I thought it was a good book. It's got some good, I mean, it's very one of those, like, you're going to get through this and everything's going to be okay and you'll come out stronger books. And I was like, okay, maybe I can start to read a little bit of that now. Mm-hmm, like, maybe I'm at a place where that doesn't make me want to vomit. But
who's it by? And, like, what's the general storyline?
So basically it's by this woman who lost her husband, and she worked for Facebook. Her husband worked for SurveyMonkey, I think. And then she had done this post 30 days after he passed away. And it went really popular on Facebook. And she was also very good friends with this psychology professor. So the book is written by her and the psychology professor. Mm-hmm. So there's a mix of, like, her experience in her grief and loss. But also there is a component of, here are some psychological skills and tools and some data and studies behind it as a whole. And it's a good book. I'm still reading it. But what was odd is that I checked out this book last week or the week before, and then something similar happened with somebody I know. Like the very specific situation that book is about. And I just thought it was really weird. Like, this book came into my life.
Right. Kind of serendipitous in a way.
Yeah. And I'm probably reading too much into it, but I just thought it was interesting how that happened. And prior to that, I went down a rabbit hole, as I do, on watching Netflix and watching Tyler Henry's, I think it's called Life After Death.
Yeah, maybe? Work.
And he is the cutest thing in the world. I just want to hug him and protect him. And he's just so adorable.
He is an adorable little twink.
He's just cute. Anyways, and then I watched the other Netflix series called Surviving Death, which there's like a book, and then they'd made this little limited series out of it. And it was very interesting because what we grew up with was a certain point of view with our religious beliefs about the soul and death and all of this. And it's just really interesting to see how different people see things, believe things. Where's the data? Where's the science behind some of these other spiritual, energetic, consciousness, soul, spirit, ghost, whatever you want to call it. What happens after we die?
Definitely. I think there's kind of an interesting way in which Islam, which we were raised with, especially how we were raised with it, it was very like, there's God, and like, that's it, you know, there's nothing, there's no other power, and when you die, you know, your soul rests until the day of judgment, and then you go to heaven, or you do your little purgatory sentence and then go to heaven. And
I mean, but there is talk of other beings.
Well, that's what I was going to say is there's not so much, like, we were definitely told, like, you know, ghosts aren't real, stuff like that, but
angels,
jinn, stuff like
people,
that.
People, the devil,
Jesus.
And the prophets, you know, and whatnot, but that there is an afterlife,
right?
That there is a soul and that will continue on. And that the afterlife will be much longer than your material life on this, you know, in our physical being right now.
Right.
And then that's the one that we should strive for because that's going to last a long time.
Definitely. But what we don't really talk so much about is, like, you know, like, our loved ones staying behind and, you know, their spirits moving amongst us and stuff like
or
that.
Or reincarnation.
Right.
We don't talk about that, where some religions definitely, you know, wholly believe in that.
Mm-hmm. And I would say it's kind of interesting to reconcile with these things we've been thinking so much about lately.
Yeah.
And how we kind of believe in them. Like, for example, while I might have struggled with religion as an institution, you know, and I still do for quite some time, I do still believe in, you know, spirituality and mm-hmm. like personal relationships with God and stuff like that. However, I don't know how to feel about this concept of the afterlife or whether there is one. Like, I definitely think I have my little agnostic moments where I'm like, well, what if this is it? Like, what if you die and it's just blackness and nothingness for the rest of eternity? And like, that is the what makes my stomach churn.
Does that, I was gonna ask, like, how does that make you feel?
Definitely very existential crisis-y, you know, very panicky. Yeah.
So maybe it's like a coping, whether it's real or not, I definitely think it's something we, if it's not real, we probably made it up as a coping mechanism.
Absolutely. Well, not just a coping mechanism. Like, think about religion as the institution. It's a way to keep people in check, right? Do this while you're alive.
It's guidelines.
Do this while you're alive, or this potential of an afterlife.
Consequence.
You don't, you know, achieve in the same way.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely, it's a lot of things. It's a political thing. It's a, you know, cultural thing. It's all these things besides maybe what it really is, which is just our souls experiencing the universe, you know, or maybe vice versa or whatever.
I think there's so many different thoughts on it, and it's just interesting to see how different people, including different mediums and the different methods of mediumship, and so for those who don't know, mediums might be someone who is in the middle of somebody that can be earth side, but that feels that they can communicate to those past this realm through different ways. So that I'm not going to get into specifics of that, you know, clairvoyance, clear, whatever, but there's a communication there that can go, you know, that they can receive, mm-hmm. And then impart that message maybe.
Definitely. And I think the way we were raised is like engaging in any of that is kind of
Taboo, blasphemous
maybe even. Yeah. And it's kind of like categorized as witchcraft or black magic.
And
when
that's
in reality,
a lot of religions though,
sure.
Not just ours. Yeah.
Sure. Whereas for us, especially at this point in our lives, we have to reconcile that with, we're just looking for a connection, you know, we're looking for a connection to the world and the universe and maybe even our past loved ones and their spirits and their souls. And it's really hard sometimes to not feel guilty about like exploring these pathways and exploring my own spirituality, because I mean, that's what religion does, right? It guilts you. It's guilt.
Well, there's just, you know, a lot of indoctrination. And so going against that is... It's hard if you're, you know, but I think it's interesting in looking at some of these shows and reading about it and whatnot, how different people are going through their journey and reconciling that as well. So maybe really strict Christians also have felt the same way, and then they meet a medium and the medium is like, yeah, I'm spiritual and religious too. And, you know, it's not like it goes against my religious beliefs. It's just... that I have this ability or I've honed this ability. And oftentimes what I found interesting is the common thread is that there is this spirit, soul, consciousness, energy, whatever you want to call it, that does continue on into something bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that oftentimes the ego may go away and what's left is love, or that soul has done some work, journey. You might call that purgatory.
Or some people might call it incarnating. You know, some people might call it traveling through different lives and different experiences throughout the universe. And I guess that's kind of what I struggle to understand is if this is, you know, this soulful universal experience and like our human bodies and our human lives are one aspect of it, I guess I just struggle to because I so want to believe, right? And I think that's it. So many of us want to believe there's an afterlife because it's scary to think that there's not. You know, it's scary to think that we're, it's just going to be nothing. What makes you think
that there's not?
We don't have evidence. We don't have any scientific evidence.
What would be evidence? And do you think
that's a great question. I don't know.
And would we understand that evidence?
That's another question too. Maybe we just don't fully comprehend the spiritual world around us. And so we perceive it. Yeah. Differently.
I mean, to me, like, my personal opinion is that, and that's why so much of religious text and things is explained a certain way, is not to be taken literally, but that in a way that we in our human brains can understand it. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know that we could understand the vastness unless you're on like a mushroom trip or something. Right. Like that of the universe and the consciousness and the ego and all of that. From what I've heard people go through, the sort of like oneness and love, I don't know that I could get it. But that's what it seems like. I hear that sort of resonating amongst a lot of people, that stream of thought.
Yeah. I don't know. Definitely. I think going back to the question of why don't you believe there's an afterlife, I think it's just hard, you know, like our parents are gone and the only way we really see them again after that is through dreams, you know, and like we want to believe that there's these synchronicities and symbols around us and signs that it's them. Truly, I believe it in the moment, you know, because that helps me get me through my day. But then frankly, later
you're like, oh, that was a coincidence, I'm just looking right for stuff.
Maybe that was just serendipitous or whatever it is. And you know, like, how do you measure a soul? How do you measure after your brain activity stops and your heart stops? How do you measure that transfer of the soul?
So not the transfer, but when it comes to near-death experiences, there has been some data and studies on where there is zero brain activity, but the person, the soul, consciousness, whatever, is outside of the physical body.
Like out of body experiences. And they can
relate things that nobody else would be able to. Like, for example, during a surgery, who was where in relation to them? And the tools they use, the words they use, the things they may have said. Like, there's no way they could have known this.
Interesting.
And then come back into their body because they're told to go back or whatever.
Yeah.
And they all have, like, most of them have very similar instances of, you know, light, other beings, and then being told to go back, that it's not their time. So there is some data and studies. Again, how much do we want to open our mind to believing that or not believe that?
Sure. You know? Yeah.
It's very interesting. I would recommend watching the Netflix series Surviving Death just to open your mind to it. You don't have to believe it. None of that. It's just interesting, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know, I kind of want to circle back to how it's taboo to explore these things. And I think a lot of it is just how socio-politically over time we've been indoctrinated to believe that, like, you know, this way of thinking is the correct one, and all these other forms of spirituality and religion or whatever you want to call it are inferior.
I think also there's a lot of this idea that, like, your faith in God should be enough. It should be enough. God is enough. Your faith should be enough to get you through. And if it's not, it just means you're weak.
Right.
It's something wrong with you.
Definitely. Because we do have this. That's
kind of how I feel a little bit.
I mean, because we have to fear God, right? Like, that's what we're taught. Fear God. And without that fear of God, you can't enter heaven because everything else is subsequent to that.
Well, yeah. I mean, we fear God, but also God is very forgiving and loving and merciful of that, which I do believe. I do believe. Like today, somebody sent me a text about our mom where they made this like award in her name. Mm-hmm. And I needed that so badly today. Like, I really, really needed that because I've just been like, oh my God, life sucks so hard. Like, it's been really rough these past couple of days. And you get weeks, into months, it. Yeah. But for sure, the past couple of days, just because when you, like for me, when things pile on top of each other, you're just like, how do I dig myself out right now? Mm. And I needed that. And God put that, like, I think God gave me that gift today so that I could just be like, oh, thank you so much. Like, thank you for giving me that light. I needed that light. I have a deep love and respect for God, and I don't, and that's me, you know, that's just personally me. I think I have a good relationship with God. I don't necessarily need to go through other people, you know, to have my relationship with God. I've always had a strong belief and love of God, even through this, you know. I don't think this is God's fault that my mom died. I think it's this man's fault that my mom died because he chose not to call a taxi.
So let me ask you, how do you reconcile that with
free will?
How do you reconcile that with
your time to die?
No, like your coworker or mommy's coworker sending you that message. You know, you said like God gave you that. But
well,
like,
I think
at
God
the same
uses
time,
us as messengers. Mm. God uses us. Okay, this is my opinion. I think we are here on this earth, but we can absolutely be
vehicles
for good. And that's what I think we should be, our vehicles for good, to do God's work. That is truly what we should be doing. Instead of hurting people, we should be helping people.
Yeah.
And so I think that she was just being a messenger and doing good work, and they were doing good work. That's how I see it. That's how I reconcile
that. It's kind of interesting hearing
I don't
you
expect to see God's hand come down and do something, right?
Like, it's kind of funny to hear you phrase it that way, because I think how I define my relationship with God is that, especially with, you know, everything I've gone through as a person, you know, like with my identity and, you know, the isolation I went through for a while and all this stuff, you know, even the accident, everything is kind of like, I know I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. And like, if God's up there, you know, which I want to believe he is oftentimes. I mean, when we were going through this in the hospital and all that, I mean, I was praying, you know, I was praying like I was a little Muslim kid again, you know? And, I do want to disclaim that I do identify as Muslim, especially in the socio-political sphere. You know, I'm always going to advocate for Muslims when they're facing Islamophobia and stuff like that. But that's not to say that I
think you would advocate for anybody that you feel is being wronged, though.
Definitely, definitely.
To be clear. I think you are pretty open-minded.
Definitely. I'm just saying, when it comes to how I identify, a lot of people ask, like, oh, well, or have said, you're not really Muslim because yada yada. Or are you Muslim?
We could all be accused of that, though.
Definitely. And I think, for me,
gossip about people, somebody could say you're not Muslim, you know.
Definitely. And so I find it interesting that you move in that way where it's like God is using me, whereas for me, I see it as I, the individual, do good, and that count, if there's a God, that counts for something.
I think it's both,
you know. Okay, sure.
I think it's both, absolutely. I think there's humility and understanding that God might be using me, like, I need to be humble enough to be like, oh, this is not me doing this good thing, this is me just doing the good work of God.
Okay, now how do you reconcile that with, like, your imposter syndrome? Or, like, you're never good enough?
Me?
Yeah. Well, because, like, generally.
Yeah,
right?
Because I also, in the same sentence, would be like, oh, I didn't, it's not like I actually really did anything helpful or did anything really good. Like, I'll always add that, tack that on later, because I have lots of issues.
So it's funny how that works out, isn't it? It's like, on one hand, it's like,
we are taught, though, modesty and humility is huge in our religion, though.
For sure.
And even my mom taught that to us. She said, the house that you have, the money that you have, all of it could be gone in a day. Mm-hmm. And always be mindful that everything you have is because of God. Everything you have is because of God. Mm-hmm. And she taught me that, and I try, and that's where there is that like fear, mm-hmm. you know, that like, just you think you worked so hard to get all of these things, but in a second, God can take it away. And that's my belief, you know, that's what I was raised with, and I choose to continue to believe that. As a reminder to be grateful mm-hmm. for what you have. And yes, you do your part, you do your work, but ultimately,
yeah,
you have it because of God.
Yeah.
What you have is because of God.
Even as the like a not religious person, I do find it funny how, you know, something good happens and I'm like, oh, thank God. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Like, ooh, or like, you know, I would say now in my life, I will kind of say like, you know, thank the heavens, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, thank whoever's up there, whatever's yeah. up there, because I don't know, you know, and I do feel that with a lot of people, there's a trepidation in saying, you don't know, you're not sure, because nobody likes to be in limbo and nobody likes to feel that confusion. So a lot of people are going to choose one or the other.
And people want black and white, yes or no. They definitely. Want clear guidelines, which I think why a lot of religions, you know, especially Islam, says like these things are forbidden. Because some people are stupid, quite honestly. And they need that. Yeah. Like they can't walk a gray line because they don't have the intellect, maybe. You know, I mean, human beings are different, and not everybody can do critical thinking, or, you know, some people want to be told what to do, and for those people there are guidelines. But then there are people that are going to say, oh, I'd like to delve into this a little bit more, I'd like to critically think about this, I'd like to know about the why behind this, etc. So I mean, there's going to be like a plethora of people.
Some people need structure,
and people need that, and some people don't want that, and they want to have the more philosophical conversations. Like one of our cousins, she's very intelligent, and she could talk philosophically about things all day long. And I love that. Like, I love talking with her about that, because it's always fun and interesting. Definitely. You know, to talk about. And she's not just talking about it philosophically, but also she's always got like references and things like that from Islamic literature. So I don't know. I think it's really interesting. I have been having that feeling as I'm like watching these things and getting into it and listening to podcasts. There is a part of me that's like, oh my gosh, am I committing a sin? You know?
Well, I was going to say, I wonder if you find it harder than I do. Like, because I kind of identify with...
Yeah, but that's with having because I have some, a lot of shame
like,
and guilt.
Sure. I'm saying like, I feel like I have experienced a level of like religious trauma, you know, maybe more so than you or Asif, or maybe not, you know, maybe a different type, you know. And so I wonder if it's easier for me to explore these what we'll call non-traditional forms of spirituality or whatever you want to call it than for you, because you are still kind of okay with what you were raised with, you know. Not that I'm not, but you see it.
I haven't challenged it as much, or
whereas I've like always been the rebel, and
or like I guess I haven't had people turn on me yet. We'll see.
Well, you know? I don't know. Didn't we?
I don't know. Well, anyways,
a lot of times we brush it off as, oh, that's cultural. That's just
cultural, but also you got to remember that just because one person is being ungodly in their actions, it doesn't mean it's the religion. You know, it's, and I think that's where it comes down to free will and being a godly person. You can act like, you could have a high position and in any religious organization, but not be acting godly. But also, who am I to judge? Because none of us are perfect. Like, we're all gonna have our problems. I think the goal is to, for me anyways, the goal is to keep getting better, constantly improve and be a better person and love more and improve yourself in every possible way. And I think that continues with our soul. after this physical body dies, that we may still have some work to do.
Learning.
And so that might look like different things for different people, or different religions might call it different things, but that it's not like, I just think it would look differently for different people. And honestly, I will say that one of my maybe delusions is to make myself feel better when I often question God, like, why did my parents have to die so young? I'll tell myself, I'm like, I guess they just graduated early because they got enlightened quicker than other people. Like, they must have reached their journey and gotten to a place
they learned that it what takes, they could learn from here.
Yeah, that it takes other people 100 years that they got done in half the time. Now, again, I can totally admit that that is completely delusion, you know, like it's I'm making it up to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm biased. I loved my parents. I respected my parents, and I think they were pretty amazing human beings.
Definitely.
I think a lot of people would agree. They didn't cause fights and problems for people. They were generally peacemakers and generally tried to help people. And so, you know, it tracks.
So I'm curious, what would you say is your favorite or most interesting spiritual but not religious experience so far?
Okay, well, not like most or best or any of that. Something recent is that, you know, as I was reading about, like, or hearing about signs, you know, because everybody will say butterflies, cardinals, birds, you know, rainbows, like, people very highly identify with that. It's like, oh, that must be my loved one. And they're like, cool, that's great. If, you know, if that gives you peace and comfort. I'm not saying that's not true. Yeah. But I was looking for something that I was like, what was something that would be, like, so specific for me and mommy? And I'm not going to say what it is, but there was a phrase, a joke that we had between us that we would always be like, well, da 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 da. And I don't know if you know it, but I'll tell you afterwards. And I was like, what a super specific thing. Like, this is not something you would just ever hear or read or any of that. So I'm listening to this podcast, like, maybe the same day. I feel like it was the same day. And it was about, like, Tyler Henry was on the podcast, and I had already thought about this thing, and twice the host says this thing in different words, but the same concept of da 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 da, and I was like, no way! Like, again, confirmation bias, you're looking for the things that you're looking for, you buy a car and you see it everywhere, like, my brain is still gonna not, you know, completely accept that.
Yeah.
But it was so weird, because I'm like, really, that specific thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That is interesting. I like to pay attention to kind of the, like, you know, the little, the angel numbers, the small coincidences or whatever. Like, I definitely, like, I remember when I had first moved up here and I was just chilling on the balcony for a minute at the house. And it was, like, one of the first times I felt like that the wind chime started chiming and it was, like, just so different than any other time I'd heard it. I don't know how to explain it, but it literally, like, I don't know what I was doing, but I stopped, like, in my,
you felt
in what
it.
I was doing. I felt it, and I really, I can't explain it. I felt like it was my mom. Like, I felt like it was, like, her energy saying, oh, hey, you know, welcome back to the house, you know? And there was another time where it wasn't really a sign or a symbol or anything like that, but I don't know, I was just in bed one night, and I was really going through it. I was crying, you know, and I was crying out loud, boo-hoo, sobbing, and I was talking, too. I was talking to my parents out loud and just apologizing for whatever, you know, voicing my regrets, all that kind of stuff. And I can't explain it, but I felt two very distinct spirits, or whatever you want to call them, feelings wash over me.
Wow.
And the first one was like a hug, like from mommy. Like, it felt like I could feel her hugging me almost. And just like, because I knew how she was, you know, she even though she thought I was ugly when I cried, she didn't like to see it, you know, like, obviously no mom wants to see their child cry. And so it was, I could feel the distinct forms of caring about me in a way. Like, I could feel the first one was more of a hug and was like, come on, like, you'll get through this, you know. Mm-hmm. And the second one I could tell was daddy's energy, because it was a little sterner, you know. It, like, it was more like a hand a on pet. The it was exactly it was more of a hand on the shoulder,
like a calming,
and it was like, you've been through this, you can get through this. And, you know, it was really interesting to me that, obviously, like, I can't explain it, and it all sounds like mumbo jumbo hocus pocus.
No, but that's actually one of the defining characteristics that people will say, is that they can't really explain it. But it is a feeling.
It was weird that I could feel both presences, because, you know, it's hard enough before this. It's hard enough for me to just connect with daddy.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was really nice feeling both energies, one after the other. Like, it was distinct. It wasn't at the same time. And basically being able to hear their message through, like, this feeling that washed over me.
And I think also, you're more open to that than I am. And I think that's part of it, is that I think there is, again, from what I'm hearing and stuff, like, themes, is that you almost have to open yourself up a little bit more to these things if that's what you want. So if you want to be receiving this, you need to be more open to it. And I'm a giant scaredy cat. So I'd probably, like, freak out if something like that happened to me, which is why I think that wouldn't happen to me. Because I'm not open to inviting that in. Like, I am very scared of all of that. So I think there are some of that. And what's interesting is my mom was, she was very religious. She did her prayers. She had a deep, deep belief in God. And she had dreams that were very meaningful. Some of them were a little
clairvoyant.
Yeah, like a little premonition type dreams. I don't know what the right way to say it is, but with all of her children, you know, she had dreams about us before we came. Just, I think that's really meaningful. And and I think it's partly because she had such a deep connection with God and she was open to it. I think that's a big part of it. Whereas, like, I know that I'm not open to that kind of stuff, but I have asked her to come into my dreams. I'm like, please come into my dreams. And I was just talking recently, like, oh, why isn't she coming in my dreams? And Zach's like, she's been in my dreams. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, she said, I love you and don't you worry. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I mean, so if we're talking about the openness to it, yeah. I mean, I can agree.
Kids are more open also.
For sure. And I think, yeah, I mean, I do think that maybe, you know, these souls on the other side, they understand us probably better than we understand ourselves, you know, especially when it's like the soul of your mom or your dad.
Well, and they have a big picture look, maybe.
Yeah, and I think it is almost like respecting our space, giving us our time. Like, I wonder if the reason mommy doesn't come to us so much in dreams or show herself so much through these all these signs and symbols is because it might not be good for us to heal, you know, if we're still clinging onto her presence here physically, as opposed to you know, celebrating her life and
we don't know, like, soul. Where her soul's journey is right now either, you know? So, like, has she gotten to that side? Has she gotten closure? You know, we haven't gotten closure.
Right.
You know, for lots of reasons. But, you know, I don't know. These are answers and questions that we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, some religious cleric could tell us. And they're going to give us their, you know, take on it. And I respect that. That's what they believe.
Yeah.
I do think, like, these are all normal questions, though, to have.
Definitely.
When you lose somebody, you know, that you love so much. I think it's normal to have a little bit of question about some of that. Or at least want some type of reassurance that they're okay.
Right.
There might be in another time and place and space, but they're okay. But I just thought it was interesting you know, going down a little bit of this rabbit hole of consciousness, life mm-hmm. after death, and
how we reconcile it with our religious and cultural upbringing.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, you know, all the different religions and spirituality and theologies will have different variations on all of it. Mm-hmm. But more commonly than not, there is a thought that when your physical body is gone, that something still remains. Mm-hmm. Some type of consciousness remains and becomes part of something bigger. That does seem to be a recurring theme.
Yeah. Well, if it's not God, hopefully one of these crazy millionaires comes up with a way to upload our consciousnesses into a cloud or something.
Well, I think that's what, like, some people really consider it as.
Maybe.
Is it's just exactly that. That it's like, that's a good way to put it, that our little monkey brains can understand.
That was heavy, but I think that's a good point to end this podcast on. Yeah. So join us next time.
Let us know your thoughts.
Definitely.
You know, what were you raised with believing, and what do you currently believe now? How has that changed, and why has that changed? Mm-hmm. And are you open to thinking about it in a different way?
Sure. And let us know if there's any other topics you want us to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
And we look forward to reading those comments and seeing you here next time on Katamita.
Bye.
Mwah.